glad to see you here, especially visitors. Welcome. A few announcements. Marv Korver is in Floyd Valley Hospital with pneumonia. He's been in there for a day or two. Sound like he was doing better last night. The other announcement, John and Marilyn Noble were in a serious car accident yesterday. Kevin called this morning to kind of give us an update. John remains under observation at Floyd Valley. May be dismissed today. My understanding was he had some shoulder injuries and a lot of bruising and pretty sore. Marilyn was transferred to Mercy in Sioux City with neck injuries and other injuries. Laura and I did stop to see her last night. She's pretty bruised up, pretty sore, pretty tired, but please keep them in our prayers. I'd like to welcome Verlin Skop this morning as our guest pastor. He retired in January from Friendship Church in Sergeant Bluff, and we're glad to have you here with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me this morning. I'm really pleased to be back at Calvin Church. I have so many fond memories of all the support and prayers over the years at Friendship Community Church and our involvement in the church plant there. And just retiring in January 15, it's been a little transition, but I'm enjoying retirement, and it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to share God's Word with you today. I'd like to call us to worship with the words of the psalmist. He says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him." Let's stand and sing together, "Sweet, Sweet Spirit." Amen. Very appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. I'd like to extend God's greeting to each one. Our Almighty God says, "I love you." The risen Christ says, "Grace to you." And the Holy Spirit says, "I bring you fellowship and I bring you power." Amen. Let's turn and greet one another this morning and greet your neighbor and just welcome them this morning. Good morning. Thanks for playing this morning. Sounds great. Good morning. What? You got what? Okay, water. Thanks. Great. We'll remain standing and sing songs of praise to God. Spirit of God unleashed on earth. is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Amen. You may be seated. We'll be looking this morning at Acts 2. Or be reading the passage as we go along, Acts 2, 1 to 13. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. If you're like me, you've said or you've heard people say, "Oh, I wish." And they say, "I wish," or "I hope," or "I'd like to." But they say it in a way that they don't really believe that anything's going to change. They would like to see change. They hope for change. But they really don't believe that there's going to be any change. And I'd like for you to think about for a moment, what do you believe God would want to change in your life? In fact, what would you, seeking God's will, want to change in your life? Maybe it's something in a relationship. Maybe it's something in terms of an addiction. Maybe it's something to do with God's will for your life. Something that you believe God would have you step out in faith. I don't know what it is for you. Would you just close your eyes for a moment and think about what God would want to change in you, or what God is calling you to do. Holy Spirit, speak to us today and give us the faith to believe that change is possible through your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only do we sometimes feel like change is pretty hopeless, or that circumstances really aren't going to change because maybe we've been dealing with a hurt or a hang-up or an addiction for many, many years, and we just feel like nothing's really going to change. And I know I've felt that way at times in my life when I've wanted something to change and I just kept going back to it. Those old besetting sins or habits or ways of doing or saying things. Most of us know there's 12 steps in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and in AA, the first step is admitting that you're powerless to overcome your addiction to alcohol and that you need to turn to a higher power. So that's the first step, admitting that we're powerless. And really, when you think of it, that's the first step for all of us. Admitting our need for God. Admitting that our own willpower, our own, I'm going to do it this time, just isn't enough. We need God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Scriptures, the God who created all things. We know who the higher power is, and we need to turn to Him. Well, Jesus knew His followers needed power to be His witnesses on this earth when He left. And so in His farewell address, prior to His crucifixion, Jesus made this promise to His disciples. We find it in the Gospel of John 14, 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. He lives with you. And listen to this. And He will be in you. Now, Jesus' disciples at the time really didn't know what a significant promise this was. They really didn't fully comprehend it. But they needed this power of the Holy Spirit desperately. Now, they didn't realize it, I think, because they had Jesus with them in bodily form. So they depended on Jesus. And they had the Holy Spirit come and saw specific works at different times of the Holy Spirit. But now, Jesus was going to ascend into heaven, and He promises them this power that they're going to need, desperately need, if they are to be witness for Him and stand for Him and live for Him in this world. And Jesus affirmed this same promise just before He ascended into heaven. And we see it in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, He says, in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, the promise that Jesus made is fulfilled on Pentecost Sunday. On Pentecost, where God's people had come together. They must have had a lot of questions. And I'm sure that at this point, they suddenly realized how difficult it was going to be to be a witness, since Jesus was no longer bodily present with them. And they must have sensed this need to wait. And then, in Acts 2, we see the promise becomes a reality. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes in a supernatural way and gives birth to the New Testament church. And the timing was perfect. God-fearing Jews from all over the world were gathered there to observe this 50th day or 50th Sunday after Passover. They were there to remember how God had been faithful and given the law of Moses to them, and how He had watched over the people as they had gone through the desert and wandered and were finally brought to the promised land. And they were there to give thanks for the harvest. They celebrated the feast of harvest at this time. So they were all gathered together there in Jerusalem. And Jesus' followers were gathered in Jerusalem too. And from Acts 1:15, we know that Peter spoke with 120 believers. And they were about to replace Judas, because he was no longer with them. You know, he had betrayed Jesus and had killed himself. And now they choose Matthias. They're together. They have this sense of unity, of working together, and their need for each other, and this fellowship of believers. And they were all filled, it says, with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were obediently waiting in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had said. So no wonder there was harmony at this point. You know, when you're waiting together, when you're choosing another apostle together, when you're working together, when you recognize that you need each other, there's this fellowship that takes place. It's always there when there's obedience and working together, there's fellowship. They go hand in hand. And when we know we're doing God's will, when we know we're doing what He told us to do, to wait in Jerusalem, we sense this fellowship together. Now, it's not easy to wait. All of us know that, right? It's hard to wait. It's very hard to wait. I know that many times when we started in the church plant in Sergeant Bluff as a small little group, Arlen was there and others, just this handful of people praying. And we wanted that group to grow so much faster, but it didn't. It grew very slowly. But we had to wait. And then God would bless in different ways. And we rejoiced at His blessing. Well, we're told in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Just at the right time, as they were there together, the Holy Spirit comes. And when something miraculous happens, what's our first reaction? What in the world's happening? What's going on? I can't believe this, isn't it? Sometimes we just can't believe it. And so God knows that, and He uses man's physical senses in conjunction with this miraculous event to demonstrate, yes, this promise is now being fulfilled to you before your very eyes. And God often accommodates our need for seeing, for hearing, for touching. Remember when Jesus allowed Thomas, he was a doubter. He couldn't believe that Jesus had come back to life. And he says, I won't believe it unless I see the nail holes in his hands and the hole in his side. And so what does Jesus do? He appears to him and specifically says to Thomas, to look at his hands. Put your hand in my side. He needed to feel it. He needed to touch. He needed to see it. And his doubts are dispelled. He believed. God knows our doubts. We all have had doubts. We all have doubts from time to time. God knows that. And now God gives evidence of the Spirit's arrival. And there's this sound of a blowing wind. And this sound of a wind, that's evident, right? We all know the sound of wind. It was a sound like a blowing violent wind. So there's nothing to indicate that there was really even any turbulence in the air. But they heard the sound like a wind. And the sound of the wind symbolized the Spirit's presence. In John 3:8, Jesus had used the wind to symbolize the Holy Spirit to Nicodemus. There Jesus said, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is, or where it comes from, or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The second evidence of the Spirit's coming were these visible tongues of fire. Verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, just imagine if we were sitting right here today and all of a sudden a big ball of fire appeared. And this ball of fire started separating into little tongues of fire and it started resting on each person here. I mean, we would know something miraculous is happening, right? We wouldn't say, well, yeah, you know, that happens every Sunday. There's the fire again. No, we would be shocked. We would be perplexed. We would say, God is doing something. We don't understand it, but God is at work here. And that's what happens. This ball of fire, these tongues of fire separate. And God-fearing Jews were there to observe it. And they knew God often revealed himself through fire. That wasn't something new for them. Deuteronomy 24 says, verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire." The fire was something that was seen when Moses looked and God spoke through this burning bush, and it was a ball of fire, and God was speaking to him. And we know that a ball of fire led the children of Israel in the wilderness out of bondage. He went before them and they followed. It was a ball of fire. So they would understand that God's presence was in the fire. And the believers were given a third evidence that the promise of the Holy Spirit was taking place. They were given this oral evidence. We see it in verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They spoke in other tongues. The Holy Spirit came in such a way that there could be no doubt that he was present, that they were being filled. The new age of the Spirit had come. The Spirit's power was evident, and they were waiting obediently for this power, and God fulfilled his promise. And now God could use them to be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, as well as right at home. Well, there were varied reactions to the Spirit's coming. There's always varied reactions to the work of God, isn't there? You know, miracles happen, and some people say, well, wasn't that a coincidence? Right? And the next person who is led by the Spirit of God, who is someone who is in tune with God, says, God worked a miracle. God answered prayer. God has done this. He intervened. Well, there was confusion or bewilderment right from the beginning. Verses 5 and 6. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Now, we don't know if they were in a building. Many believe that they were in one of the temple courts, and in one of the outer courts, and that the Christians had gathered there. And there was a great mass of people during that time, Pentecost. And others observed this and saw what was happening among the believers. Others believe it was just the 12. We aren't told specifically. Because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, people from all over. And in spite of this fact that they all spoke these different languages, they heard them in their own native tongue. And what were they declaring? It says it at the end of verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Isn't that amazing? They declare, they were heard them declaring the wonders of God. You see, this is the primary work of the Holy Spirit, to declare the wonders of God. To declare his power, to declare that he alone is God, to declare his mighty deeds, to declare that he has come to give us salvation through Jesus Christ, to declare his amazing grace, his amazing mercy, his amazing love, to declare the wonders of our God. That's what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. To point people to God. When we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we will call attention to God, not ourselves. God will receive the glory, not us. Are you calling people and pointing them to God? By your speech, by your life, by your testimony, I know I often fail miserably in this. Because so often I'm walking around living in the flesh, relying on my own strength, fearful, instead of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people who saw and heard what happened reacted with amazement. Verse 7, we saw that. They couldn't understand how these Galileans could be speaking this language of theirs, and that they could understand him. And there are many times we can't understand the work of an all-powerful God ourselves. And we're amazed. Sometimes amazement is the proper response to the work of God. We just have to say, I don't understand it, but I know I'm finite, and God is infinite. And we stand amazed. At the Holy Spirit's coming, some people were just honestly perplexed. I don't get this. What just happened? They asked, what does this mean? Verse 12. You may be here today because you're curious or perplexed about Christianity. That's okay. This is the right place to be. This is a place to ask your questions among God's people with other believers seeking his word and wisdom. We have questions, and God understands that. He loves it when we come with honest and sincere questions to him. And at his coming, this first coming, some people just made fun of it. They ridiculed it and said, they've all had too much wine. They've been drinking already, and they're drunk. Well, you know what? Right from the very beginning, there are those who have always ridiculed the work of God, made fun of it. Now, I don't know any child, I don't know any teenager, I don't know any adult who likes to be made fun of. I have yet to meet them. No, it's pretty humiliating to be made fun of. And it happened right then, and it's still happening today. If you're a Christian, if you're speaking of the wonders of God, you're going to be made fun of by some. Expect it. Don't be surprised by it. It'll happen. If you're living a strong testimony in the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be some who will make fun of you and mock you. Expect it. In fact, Paul warned young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Christians around the world are experiencing that. I just read an article, Justin Long. He emphasized the startling fact that more people have died for their faith in the 20th century than in all the previous centuries combined. He says this, during this century, we have documented cases in excess of 26 million martyrs. From AD 33 to 1900, we have documented 14 million martyrs. In the last 16 years, 35 nations, in 35 nations, Islamic extremism has risen to the level of ethnic cleansing of Christians. Just in the last 16 years. God has always known that we, His people, can only stand strong in the face of ridicule, in the face of persecution, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when Christians in persecuted nations and persecuted Christians make prayer requests, what do they pray? Not, get me out of this country and away from this persecution. They pray that I'll be strong. Pray that my faith will be strong. Pray that I'll be able to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The Holy Spirit of power lives in every believer. And one way Christians can be a witness is by our purity. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who are in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Children and teens and young adults and adults, we need to honor God with our bodies if we're to be a testimony to the world, if we're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Paul says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and His counsel, your fellowship will be strong and meaningful. And believers and unbelievers will be blessed by your life, and lives will be changed. This week, I'd urge you, just keep reading in Acts chapter 2, and you'll see the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit when Peter addresses a crowd of 3,000, a crowd of people, and 3,000 people repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because He brought it in the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head and ask yourself this question. Have I repented of my sin and receive Jesus' forgiveness and the Holy Spirit into my life? If you're not sure, you can make sure today through praying a simple prayer from the heart. I'd urge you to pray with me Father in heaven, I repent of all my sins. You know each one of them. I believe you paid the penalty for my sins with your sinless life when you died on the cross for me and rose again in victory. Holy Spirit, come and live in me. Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you sent your perfect Son to give me eternal life. I love you. Hear me for Jesus' sake. Amen. And with our eyes closed yet, if you're already a Christian, in what area of your life or what specific situation do you need to rely more on the Holy Spirit? Would you name it and silently ask the Holy Spirit to give you power in this area of your life to bring about change? Let's do it right now. Dear Father, in ourselves we are powerless. But today, Holy Spirit, I surrender and rely on your power. We pray this in the powerful name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response, let's stand and sing together, Wind, Wind, Blow on Me. Let's stand again. may be seated. Let's come before our Father in prayer together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise you, we worship you, we adore you. For you alone are God. And we praise you that you are a promise keeper and that you have sent your Holy Spirit to indwell us, to give us power. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life so that we might have eternal life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a spirit of wisdom who counsels us and who gives us power. Enable us to be bold in our living and in our speech for you, even in this week. Oh God, we pray too for Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of this month. We pray for volunteers, for workers to minister to children. We pray for children who would come and hear the good news of salvation and that they might grow in loving you and serving you. We pray that you would be with Pastor and Mrs. Nevada DeLapp as they travel, as they are on a working vacation, and we ask that your hand would be on them. We pray that you would lead and guide and direct them. We thank you for bringing them to this congregation, and we ask that you would continue to use them as your servants, and that you would give us as a congregation open hearts to their ministry. We pray for each elder and each person in leadership here at Calvin. God, give them wisdom, give them boldness, fill them with love and compassion as they lead your people. We pray too for those who serve, who are often unnoticed. We thank you for those who give their time and talents, Lord, to minister to people in so many various ways, often behind the scenes. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage them and help them to know that their gifts are being used for your glory. Lord, we pray especially today for John and Marilyn Noble, who are in this car accident. Oh God, we thank you for sparing their lives, and we pray for healing for John and for Marilyn, for John's shoulder and bruises, and we ask for healing for Marilyn's neck injuries. God, we pray that you would restore them to health and give wisdom to their doctors. We pray, too, for Marv Corver in Floyd Valley Hospital with pneumonia. We ask, Lord, that you'd be merciful to him, that you would be gracious and that you would grant healing to his body, and that you would grant him your comfort, knowing that you are with him. Lord, today we pray for John and Mary's daughter, Sandy Hacker. She struggles with this bone cancer, and now with this artery having been cut, we pray for healing. We pray that you would restore her. God, we pray that you would work a miracle that could be your will, that she would be totally healed of this cancer. We thank you that she has you in her heart and life, and she has divine healing of her soul. And we just pray that you'd keep her faith strong and that you would encourage her and lift her up and continue to encourage John and Mary. We pray, Lord, for others, Lord, who may have family members here today who are sick or struggling with addictions, or even struggling with faith. We pray, Lord, that you would work a miracle through the power of your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, we would be faithful in prayer, and that we would look to you for our strength. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight, and help us to be bold witnesses for you, and relying not on our own ability or being so articulate or thinking what we can do, but relying, Holy Spirit, on you and your power. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We have the opportunity to honor the Lord with our wealth. We're told that We're to honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of all our crops. And the psalmist, or the proverb writer writes, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Thank you, Rachel. What a beautiful offertory. Let's stand and receive the benediction, and then we'll sing closing doxology. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope and joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.